couple of announcements before we begin. Do remember that our home builders ministry is beginning on the 28th, so that's a week from Thursday, right? Yes. And on marriage 1 month, and on parenting or mothering the following month. Even if you're not married and plan to be married one day, it's a good idea to come and learn ahead of time. And then also our ISI ministry is going to be starting its second session coming up, and we're going to start taking sign-ups this Sunday. So you can grab a flyer and pray about being a part of that ministry. It's gone very well. I think all the women who have been involved this last time have thoroughly enjoyed it. Just iron sharpening iron, just talking about the Word and getting to know one another and growing in their relationship with the Lord together. So pray about being a part of that. Okay, we continue today in Colossians chapter 3. In verses 18 and 19, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord, and husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Now, when the subject of marriage is mentioned, it can do a lot of things, but it can do one of these two things. It can bring a smile to your face and it can warm your heart, or it can bring sadness. It can bring a snarl. It can bring cynicism and even bitterness. Now, we know that God created marriage. He created marriage for one man and one woman together for life. That is God's plan, his creation, and what he intended marriage to be. And he intended marriage to be good, because in the garden, after he had created everything, including male, including female, including marriage, bringing them together to be one flesh, he looked and said, everything is good. It is very good. So marriage is good. It is pleasurable. It is the people in the marriage that have given marriage a bad name. Marriage isn't bad. Marriage is good. Marriage is pleasurable. That's God's design. The people who have been married from the beginning of time have given it a bad rap. Now, if that husband and if that wife do everything God's way in yielding themselves to him first and allowing him to be Lord over their lives and filling their lives, then that man and that woman, that husband, that wife will have a good marriage. They will have a pleasurable marriage. And so when the topic of marriage is mentioned, they have a smile on their face and it warms their heart and they just say, yes, this is good. Now, I love marriage and I love my marriage. And I always have loved marriage, and I've always loved my marriage. And I believe I married the right man, and he believes he married the right woman. And we believe that it was God's doing and is God's doing, because otherwise you really can't explain it. Because when a 15-year-old and a 20-year-old meet, and they get married the following year, and they are pushing 32 years of marriage, and they cannot look back at any given time in the course of their marriage and look back to say, oh, we had to really work on our marriage, or look back with any kind of, oh, that was the hard time, or that was strained, or any of that. When you can't look back on that, then that means someone else is in charge. It means that the two people in their flesh it doesn't work. Somebody else is in control of those lives and that marriage. Now, whenever I talk about marriage, I always get misunderstood. And when I say things like, we have a good marriage and we don't fight and all of those kind of things, that can just produce all kinds of things in people's minds. So let me clarify a little bit. I am not saying that we are perfect. I'm not saying that at all, because we are flesh, and both of us have fleshly natures just like the rest of you. And I'm not saying that everything is perfect, because it can't be, because you have two people involved. And when there's two people involved, nothing is going to be perfect, because the only perfect person is the Lord. And I am not saying that we have never had a disagreement. I am not saying that one of us has never left the room in the midst of a conversation out of frustration. Not saying that. I'm not saying that we've never been irritated with one another. I'm not saying any of those things. But we have a very good and pleasurable marriage. We both have very strong personalities, and we are both have very strong opinions on things. And speaking for myself, I'm strong-willed and very rebellious by nature. And I can, in my flesh, push to the limit till I realize I can't push anymore. And I knew, even at 15, I needed to marry a man who was much stronger than me, or I'd walk all over him. And I'm very thankful that I married a very strong man who won't budge. Very thankful. I need that. But usually two people like that, they're going to have problems. Because if you have two strong wills and two people who want to be in charge, if one doesn't give, you're going to have big problems. But if those two people yield themselves to the work of the Lord, to the Holy Spirit, then they're going to give. And they're going to set aside their demands, their desires, when you yield to the Holy Spirit. And again, I am not saying that we are perfect, that I am perfect, that he is perfect, that we yield all the time, because we do not. But I will tell you that since we gave our lives to the Lord, we've tried every day to surrender to the Lord and to allow him to work in our lives, not because of our marriage, but because of our love for the Lord. And our relationship with the Lord has always been very individual. I have my relationship with the Lord, and he has his relationship with the Lord. We have, and I'm not saying this is good or bad, but we've never done devotions together or studies together or that kind of a thing. We pray together, but not all the time. We're praying about the same things, but not actually sitting down all the time. But we've both yielded ourselves to the Lord, and we, in doing that, we love one another, and your love grows more and more. And isn't that amazing how it can do that? How you are so in love when you first get married, although that kind of love is a little bit more passionate, touchy-feely love. And as you grow older with your husband, that love just grows more and more, and you enjoy each other more and more, and there's respect for one another. And you just, when you're yielding to the Lord, you're preferring the other person over yourself, and your marriage is going to be good. It's going to be pleasurable. Now, a good marriage or a biblical marriage has these ingredients in it. And they're key ingredients in a marriage. And that, number one, is love. Now, we know we cannot do anything without the Lord. So your relationship with the Lord is number one. It is. If you don't have the relationship with the Lord, your marriage is not going to be what it's supposed to be. So that's your individual responsibility, is having your relationship with the Lord. But if you do, and when you're growing in the Lord, then you're going to have more love. You're going to be walking in the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. So it's that love. Now Jesus, he said to his disciples, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you love one another. And that word love is that agape love. We've talked about it last week, about God's agape love, the unconditional love, the I love you anyway, the I love you and I will always do what is right and what is best for you. It's not the emotional kind of love. So that love, agape love in a marriage, both people. Now, yes, we see in verse 19, it says that husbands are to love their wives, so they're commanded. But we, Jesus said, we are to love one another. So it's mutual, love one another. And then the second ingredient is that mutual submission. Verse 18 tells wives to submit to your husband. But you know, in Ephesians, it tells us that we are to submit to one another in the fear of God. And that verse is right, it's Ephesians 5:21, right before the instruction for wives. Mutual submission. We can't, as women, we cannot think that we've got the bad end of the deal because we are the ones that are to submit. Submitting one to another in the fear of the Lord. And that means really esteeming others better than yourself, esteeming your husband, and him esteeming you better than himself, and preferring him over you, his interests, doing what he wants to do, doing it his way, preferring him. That's submission, and it's supposed to be mutual in a biblical marriage. And then also mutual respect for one another. And in Ephesians, when it gives the instruction to the wives in chapter 5, it tells the wife, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. But also in 1 Peter chapter 3, it tells the husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife. It is that mutual respect in a marriage. We are to have it for one another. How much more in marriage? So that the love, the agape love, and the submitting to one another. No, we're going to do it your way. We're going to do it your way. We're going to do it your way. And that respect, that honor of to our husband. And when both people are doing that, oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be right. It's going to be pleasurable. It's going to be what God has intended it to be. And then also in Ephesians, he tells us that Christian marriages represent Christ and his great love for his bride, the church. And what did he do? He laid down his life for us, and then the church's, his bride's response in submission, in surrender, and I'm going to do it your way, Lord. I'm going to do it your way. And that's what a Christian marriage is supposed to be a picture of. People are supposed to look at Christians married and say, wow, that's different. Why can they be this way? How? And it's just a testimony to the Lord and his great work. And then the last ingredient that I'll just throw in there is lots and lots of communication. Very important that we communicate and do it obviously lovingly, but that we talk to one another, because being submissive doesn't mean that we are to just zip our lip all the time and bite our tongue all the time. That's not what that means. The Lord tells us to pour out our heart before Him. He wants to hear it all. Not that we're to just dump everything on our husband, but it's the communication. If there is something going on and I am in that place where I need to submit against my will and my desires, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. And when you have that mutual submission and mutual respect, your husband's going to say, well, I'm going to value your opinion. I want to hear what you have to say. Not that you're going to try to, you know, change your control, but you have that opportunity. Oh, that communication is very, very important. Now, some may listen to this and think, well, that's all fine and dandy, but I don't have a husband like that. I don't think I married the right man. Or I got married before I came to the Lord, and I came to the Lord, and he didn't. So my husband isn't saved. Or, well, my husband knows the Lord, but he really isn't walking that well with the Lord. He doesn't really yield himself to the Lord. Or, well, that's fine and dandy, but my husband is very, very selfish and very insensitive. And so that might work for you. And I'm very glad that you have such a happy marriage. But my husband's not like that. And so I all of these things, then it just won't work and it doesn't count. Ooh, but people really think that way. But the Lord has something to say to all of us concerning that. Yes, there's no doubt. There is no doubt that it's easier. When you have a husband who loves you, who adores you, who values your opinion, who wants to be partners with you on everything, and who, as you grow older together, just loves you and more and takes care of you. Yes, it is much easier to love, to submit, to want to please. We all know that. It is more difficult when you have a person who is difficult, who might be very selfish or might be insensitive. But at the same time, each of us, we still have a will. We still have a fleshly nature. And though my husband has always been very kind to me, treated me, he's never ever mistreated me or said an unkind word, I still have a flesh. I still have a very strong will that gets moody sometimes, that I have to deal with, just like other women have to deal with when they don't have a husband like that. We all have those wills, and we all have to say no to our flesh and yes to the Spirit. Perhaps you have to say no to your flesh more in your marriage than I do, but I have to say no to my flesh in another area of my life way more than you do. You know, we're all alike in our fleshly nature. And we all have to learn these things and be refined the same way. And God's power and his plans for the wife of the unsaved husband or the very difficult husband is no less. His power, he doesn't look at that and say, oh, that's right. You have a difficult husband. You have an insensitive, selfish husband. I really can't help you as much as I can help her. Oh, no. The power is there. He's still on the throne. His power, his equipping for that wife in that difficult situation is just as strong. But she needs to yield and say no to the flesh and yield to the Lord. Now, we're going to jump over into 1 Peter because 1 Peter chapter 3, very good instruction for us as wives. Now, before in the previous chapter and verses in 1 Peter chapter 3. So in chapter 2, he is writing to them and instructs the servants to be submissive to their masters. And then he also gives the example of the Lord Jesus, who was submissive to his Father's will in going to the cross. And then he begins in chapter 3, verse 1, and he says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands." Just as a servant needs to be submissive to his master, or an employee needs to be submissive to their employer, just as Christ was submissive to his Father's will. "Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. No, this is what I have for you. Nevertheless, your will be done." So wives, in that same way, be submissive to your own husband. "That even if some do not obey the word, that they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." Now, this is written to all wives, not just wives with unsaved husbands, but to all wives, all of us, that we are wives, be submissive to your own husbands, even if some don't obey. Now, that some don't obey could mean that he doesn't obey because he doesn't know the Lord, or that he doesn't obey because he's walking in his flesh. So it covers all of us, that we are to be submissive to our own husbands, and that without a word, they might be won by our example. Now, that without a word doesn't mean you can't communicate. It doesn't mean you can't talk. It doesn't mean you are a doormat. It doesn't mean that you are just, bowing down to him all the time and all of this and just being that wonderful little wife. That's not what that means. It means that you don't keep trying to convince him or push him. "You got to go to church. You got to go to church. Why aren't you reading your Bible? Why aren't you reading your Bible? You got to do this. Well, you should be leading the family. Family devotions. Blah, blah." You know, all of that kind of nagging type of thing that, as it told in the verse in Colossians, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter toward them," that we can be giving them reason to be bitter toward us because by our words we're nagging and we're trying to push them into being the spiritual leader that they're supposed to be. That's what he's saying. Without a word, you, by your example, win your husband back to the Lord or over to the Lord, keeping our relationship with the Lord number one in our lives. It should be the most important thing. Every day, he's our husband. He's our creator. He's our savior, our Lord, our friend. And we need to keep growing. The best thing you can do for any relationship here on earth is for you to have a good relationship with the Lord. Best thing to do in marriage and as a mother, to have your relationship with the Lord. So your example in keeping your relationship with the Lord what it's supposed to be, yielding to him and becoming more like him, that's very attractive. It's very pleasing to be able to be around someone who is walking in the Spirit, who loves the Lord, who is growing more like him every day. That's very attractive. You want to be around people like that. It's also very convicting for people who maybe aren't like-minded in that. And it can even produce problems in a marriage. But they're not bad problems, because that man, by his conviction of a holy wife, is going to drive him to the place where he's going to have to decide if he's going to walk with the Lord or not. Verse 3, it says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on of fine apparel. And, you know, what that is talking about, not that you can't make yourself look attractive, but don't try to draw your husband or keep his attention by focusing on the outward appearance, by being so caught up or so consumed or so fearful that you're going to lose him because things are shifting or getting a little worn looking. And so he's saying, don't be consumed with that. Don't be obsessed with the outward appearance. And he's talking to wives, not just talking to single women. He's talking to us as wives. And don't, we ought to be careful that we don't drain his resources, finances, to spend them on our outward appearance in trying to look youthful. In this whole world, we've talked about it before, is just bombarded with that. Nobody wants to get older or look older, and so we're trying to do all these things to keep ourselves looking young and firm and all of those kind of things. And don't talk about it all the time either. Don't point it out. And we have a tendency to do that, you know, pointing out the little crow's feet or pointing out the sags or the bags or the whatever else, you know, we're pointing them out and, oh, I want to do this and, oh, you know, let me have plastic surgery and this and blah, 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 all that, you know. He may not even notice those things. Don't point them out. It's amazing how, especially in a good marriage, how as you're growing older together, of course, as somebody said, the eyesight goes too, and that's helpful. But they don't notice those things. We do, because we're consumed with them and we focus on them. They don't see them. They don't see them. So don't let your adornment be merely outward, but rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. We talked about last week about all that putting on, and that gentle and that meek spirit, that meekness in our lives. We are to work on the inward beauty 5,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, when you get up and you put thought into what you're going to wear or how you're going to put your makeup on or how you're going to do your hair and all those kind of things, and you know, how you look through the day when you look at a mirror, your reflection, you know, you're putting thought, you're putting effort, you're putting energy, putting money into all of that outward, where we need to be concentrating on the inward to have that morning routine of making that inward person beautiful and spending time with the Lord and yielding to Him. He said it's precious in the sight of God. That pleases the Lord. That is beautiful to Him, is that inward beauty. Now, sometimes you can be thinking too at a time like this, okay, but I'm one in that difficult marriage, and you're just talking about me and what I'm doing, and what about him? What about all that he's not doing? And it says, husbands, love your wives, and it says that they're to love them like Christ loved the church, and he's not doing that, and you're putting all of these things on me. Now, I like that little question in the homework after that verse of husbands, love your wives and be not bitter toward them. And the question was, why is this verse not an important verse for wives to memorize? I don't know what your answer was, but it is very important that we don't keep that in the forefront of our mind, meditate and chew on that one all day long, because we're going to be seeing things that they're not doing. They're not going to ever, how are they ever going to live up to that? I mean, in your eyes, they're not going to live up to that. And then we're going to throw it out there at times and use it against them. Oh, yeah, those kind of verses, it's like, okay, I'm reading that. It doesn't really pertain to me because what it pertained to me is the verse ahead of time, that I am to be a submissive wife. And because we're women and we're talking about women, and because we are only responsible for us. We don't have to answer for our husband. Even if our husband is the worst possible man in the world, when we get to heaven, we have to answer for what God has called us to do. What did He call us to do in that role as a wife? To be submissive, to honor, to respect Him. We don't have to answer for Him and His mistreatment. God will take care of all of that. But we're responsible for us. So we want to do the best possible job as a wife, or we want to live in the best possible way as a wife, because our God has called us to this. These are His commands to us, that we are to submit, that we are to respect our husbands. And these next two verses in 1 Peter, verse 5, "For in this manner in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror." So this submission, once again, and I liked this simple little definition of submission. I have it written in my Bible in the Ephesians passage. But it simply is when two people differ on a decision that needs to be made, one of them must give way. You're not going to get anywhere if you don't. I mean, in anywhere in life, in businesses, business decisions, and all kinds of decisions, one must give way. And we're commanded as the wife to be the one that gives way. Our husband, as God has set it up, is the head. He's the leader in the home. That's the way God set it up. Because He loves him more? No. Because He's better than us? No. Because He's smarter than us? No. Because God set it up that way. Because He created Adam first. And He saw that Adam wasn't good for him to be alone. He needed help. And He created Eve to come alongside him, to help him, to partner with him, to support him in this decisions as head. And so the command that we have is we are the ones that give way. I mean, even on the roads, when there's a yield sign, you know, you have this traffic. What happens if both directions say, "No, I'm going to go my way"? You are going to have a crash. But they've set up on one side a yield sign. So those who are going and they see the yield sign, they're the ones that have to yield. And that's our simple command as a wife. In our marriage and in our relationship, we're the ones that need to step back and say, "Okay, I support you. Go your way. I want you to have your way." And we do that lovingly and willingly. Otherwise, it's not submission, it's obedience. But you know that little story about that little boy that got in trouble, and you know, the mother sat him in the corner and he said, "Oh, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." You know, a lot of wives submit that way, and that's not really submission. It's okay, I'm going to obey, but I don't like it, kind of a thing. That's not good. That's not the Lord's heart. That's not a woman who is yielding to the Lord and allowing Him to work in her life. You might have that little thought, but you got to get beyond that. You got to move on and submit to the Lord in that. Even if He's wrong and you're right, that doesn't matter. That it's what we are called to do. And we're called to do this regardless if our husband is a very spiritual man or he's unsaved or anywhere in between. We are called as Christian wives to give way. In this passage in 1 Peter, it's just a good one for, I think, for us to read from time to time to be reminded of. But it's very good instruction, commands, but because it deals with the heart attitude and how we are to be in marriage. Because you can't do all these things outwardly. I suppose you can, but it's going to be evident that you are. But that's what a Christian wife is to be. That, and of course, much more, but for this morning, that is the heart attitude, that we would be meek, that we would be gentle, that we would be more concerned about the way our heart looks to the Lord than how we look outwardly to other people, and that we would yield, we would give way when we come to a decision that we don't agree on, that we would step back. Now, we have just learned in Colossians the last couple of weeks about the putting off and the putting on and keeping our minds set on those spiritual things. And we learned also in verse 14 back in Colossians that Paul told us, but above all of these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. We are to put on love. Every single day, we are to clothe ourselves in God's agape love for those people in our lives. We should walk in love. And we talked about last week, too, that this love, it's not an emotion. It's not when I feel like it. But it is given by God, and so it is a choice. It's obedience to say, okay, I am going to love unconditionally, and I'm going to be committed, and my love is not going to change, and I'm just going to love anyway because of the love that the Lord has given me. And love yields. Love gives. Always. For God so loved the world that He gave. Love gives. Love yields. Now, I think it is interesting that in Colossians, the verses before these two instructions to the husband and to the wife, he's talking about putting off the works of the flesh and putting on and walking in the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about, instructs the wives and the husbands. And in the previous verses, in chapter 4, it talked about the putting off and the putting on. And in Ephesians, it talks about walking in love, walking in light, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. All those verses before it instructs the husband and wives. Now, we need to be putting off and putting on in all the time in all areas of our lives, but he just knew in his word, I'm going to be giving this instruction to wives and to husbands, and so I got to get all this other stuff to teach them and get this in their heart too, because that's really where the rubber meets the road. I mean, because you can be real nice and walking in the Spirit when you're not around people all the time. But when you live with someone day in and day out, boy, you really get to know each other. You see everything. And again, we're not perfect, so there's lots of things. And we talked about last week about all those idiosyncrasies that we all have that you find out after you get married, that, you know, he wants you to put the cap back on the toothpaste and, silly little things like that. And so it's just interesting that he has already worked in the hearts of his people, this putting off and putting on and walking in the Spirit. And then above all, put on love. Again, in every part of our life, but how much more in this marriage relationship. God gives the command for the husbands to love their wives. And he gives the command for the wives to submit and to respect. And I know that some have said, well, it's easier for women to love and the men, you know, needed to be commanded to love. I don't know about that at all. I mean, we're even told in Titus 2 that the older women should teach the younger women to love phileo. That's a different kind of love, affectionately love her husband. These things don't come natural. Now, it might be maybe just a little bit more easier for women. Maybe, we don't know. Maybe men are a little bit more self-centered and selfish than women. But we all deal with our flesh. But the Lord knew that he needed to specifically tell us to yield, to give way. But if we have walked through chapter 3, if we live chapter 3 by setting our minds on the things above and continually putting off and continually putting on, and above all, putting on love, how much more easier it will be. You know, love is patient. Love will be patient and very long-suffering with all the faults and all the shortcomings of that husband of yours. Love will be patient because love loves. Love doesn't zero in on all of the shortcomings and all of those things that might be bothering you. Love is kind. And in a marriage, love is kind. Remember, it stoops down. It helps. Love is kind even when it thinks it's been mistreated. Even when it's been hurt, love is kind. Love is humble. Remember that love has a deep sense of one's littleness. Love doesn't see herself as better than her husband because she reads the Bible more, because she goes to more Bible studies, because she obeys more. Love is humble. Love is never rude. Love is polite and courteous to her husband, even if her husband isn't polite and courteous to her. Because love is polite, it's courteous, it's never rude. Love does not seek its own. Love doesn't demand its own way. You know that? When those decisions are being made, love doesn't demand its own way. Love, it looks out for the interests of others. Love puts the other person first. It doesn't demand its own way. Love is not provoked. Love doesn't even get bugged. Love doesn't even see those things. Love thinks no evil. It doesn't judge, and it keeps no record of when it has been wronged. That's love. That's putting on love, and that's putting on love in a marriage, is not judging and not keeping a record of when it was wronged. Love bears all things. Love doesn't give up. It never gives up. Love believes all things. Love stands by her man because of the love, not because of the phileo, the affectionate, the tender love, not because of the eros, the physical, attractive love, not because of the storge, the family love, but because of the agape love. Love hopes all things. Love continues to have faith. It continues. It hopes all things. It believes in God, and it believes that God will make a way. Love endures all things, love endures. It's committed for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. Love endures. Love is committed. And love never, ever, ever fails. Ever. It's the bond of perfection. Love never fails. Love can win an unbelieving husband to the Lord. Love can soften a hard heart. Love wins every time. Every time, love wins. And for some reason, I have been, the past few weeks, have had that in my mind over and over again. Love wins. Whatever situation, whatever relationship, love wins. When I put on love and I walk in the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, love wins. It wins. Love may not see the victory overnight, may not see the fruit overnight, but love endures, never gives up. It's patient, it keeps going. So eventually, love will see it, but love always wins. Even loving that very unlovable husband at times. Love wins. Why do we do these things? Why do we submit? Why do we put off and put on? Why or how in the world can we do these things? It says that God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrates His love for us. Think about that. Think about His love. Think about His love in your marriage situation. And I don't know what it is, if it's good or if it's not good. But think about His love in that situation. That He demonstrates His love for you by giving His Son. He loves you. He gave His Son's life for you. When you think about that, how can your heart not melt? How can you not respond? And then in Romans 5:5, it says that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He's poured out His love in our hearts, and He has given us the power by His Holy Spirit so that He can love through us. It's not impossible. Your situation, it's not impossible to love that unlovable man at times. We can love, and love wins. It wins every time. In any situation, if I take that second or minute or whatever it needs to happen in the midst of that discussion or the midst of that thing that's going to happen or that potential whatever it might be, and I step back, and in my heart, in my mind, I go to the Lord and I yield myself to Him and I surrender to Him and I ask Him to fill me and ask Him to give me that love that I need for my husband for that moment. He honors that. He will do that. Your heart will melt. You will become like Him. And you will step back and you'll give way. You'll yield. And without a word, the husband's heart can be changed. It can be turned or just another put in place for that down the road when he will turn. Or that loving husband will just love you even more because there you go again, loving him and submitting to him. Love wins every single time in our lives. And I just want to take a few minutes for us just to quietly, individually, just between you and the Lord, to take a few minutes in prayer and pray about these things. And you know, I don't live with you. I don't know you. I don't know your marriages. So if they are absolutely wonderful and good, then you spend that time praising and thanking the Lord for that, and pray for your husband. And if they are a little bit difficult marriages represented here, pray for your own heart attitude first. Think about praying that the Lord would change him and do all these things in him. Let's intercede for yourself. Pray for yourself in these things that you would put off and you would put on, and these things that we have heard today and that the Lord has spoken to your hearts. Father, thank you for marriage and for what you have intended it to be, and for what when those two people who are yielded to the work of your Holy Spirit, what it represents, yeah. Christ and his love for the church and the church's loving submission to him. And Father, I pray that you would just continue to speak to us and commune with us, Lord. Father, as we sang earlier, we surrender our wills, our lives over to you. And Father, I pray that you would strengthen each one of my sisters today in their calling as a wife. Lord, that with that love that you have poured out upon us, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would so walk in your love, our hearts would be changed. And it wouldn't be just an obedient love, but truly just a change in our hearts. And I pray, Father, for those who are wives in maybe a difficult marriage or a one-sided marriage. Pray that they wouldn't be discouraged, but they would be encouraged, Lord, that they can do what is right. They can please your heart. Strengthen them, Lord. Talk to them. Reveal your ways and your truths to them. Speak to them. Father, for each one of us, would you just help us to walk even more in your love, that the love for our husbands would increase more and more. The agape love, but Lord, also that phileo love, that brotherly love, that tender love, that I just like being with this man. And you would increase that, Lord. And I also pray that you would increase that, the storge, the family love, that we would just be so connected with them. And Father, that eros love, that physical love, and yes, Lord, the sexual desire, I pray that you would, if that's stagnant, would you stir that up in our lives, Lord? Give us a passion and help our bodies to get in line with that for our husbands. And that we would lovingly, willingly submit to them in all things, all day long. And Father, that we would be just have that meek and that gentle spirit. Continue to make us into those women that you want us to be, Lord. Pray that you'd fill our hearts with your encouragement and your joy. And Lord, as the women go to their groups, I pray that they would be able to encourage one another in this area of marriage. And we just thank you, Lord. We look forward to the fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.